Lead Time is a weekly dose of leadership insights and interviews from Tim Allman and Jake Bessling. Lead Time is for any leader living in a busy world looking to be inspired, equipped, and empowered to lead others to their fullest potential. This is Lead Time.
Welcome to Lead Time. My name is Jake Bessling here with my good buddy, my pal, my bro, Tim Allman.
It's a great day, Jake.
I'm
so pumped.
Especially in Arizona. We're jumping in the pools and drinking water, sitting by.
It's not actually been as hot as many people may think.
Not too bad.
You know, not
yet. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. It's only going to be 101.
Oh,
could be 115.
So come on, man.
Man, yeah. I hope you're having a great summer no matter where you are. If you're in the Northwest, I bet you're just kicking with some good weather. Enjoy that. Christ Greenfield Lutheran Church and School here in Gilbert, Arizona is where we're coming to you. Not live, but wherever we are, you are when you're listening. Enjoy the day, and it's just a great day to be alive.
Yeah, indeed. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice. We get to have some leadership insights, people around us who are filled with wisdom. One of those leaders at Christ Greenfield is Glendon Smith. Glendon the Great and the Grateful One. Glendon is a consultant from Clote & Associates who's been on our staff for the past 8 months and has been helping us fulfill our financial goals. He'll be hanging out with us for a few more months. Glendon is a gift from Jesus.
That's exactly right. Glendon is a cheerful presence around the office. Glendon, you always leave a conversation with the people being encouraged. I know we are encouraged by you. And they leave and we leave smarter from a nugget of truth that you drop on us. Love it. And we have done a few different donor visits into our community. And friends, you are in for a treat. This dude has the art of the ask down pat. So, Glendon Smith, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, pastors. It really is an honor and privilege to be serving and worshiping with the good people here at Christ Greenfield. The welcoming hospitality of the members of this church and school, it is overwhelming. They're also fortunate to have you both as pastors, as you bring the word and such high energy that we all need and desire.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, man. I hope you don't think this is weird, but I could listen to your southern voice all day.
I love it, man. It sets me at a good, peaceful place. I'm at a good, peaceful place.
Glendon, let's start with you giving our listeners a snapshot of the career that you've led.
Well, and thank you for asking me. Just a little about myself. My second home is in Louisville, Kentucky. Currently, I live here in Gilbert. I'm married to my wife, Amy, and we have two daughters, Sarah and Abigail, and they're married to David and Robert, and we have two wonderful grandchildren, Ellie and Bobby. And also, I would share that my father, who just had passed away last fall, taught me to serve the Lord through serving others. He was my favorite Christian. I attended the University of Louisville and Indiana University and worked for many years in the hospitality field. So I've also served others through many organizations, including the American Heart Association, Wayside Christian Mission, St. Vincent de Paul, Habitat for Humanity, the American Red Cross, just to mention a few.
Wow.
However, when I joined James D. Clote and Associates, I really truly found my greatest calling in working for and with great churches like Christ Greenfield, and many others across the country, providing stewardship consulting services.
So how many years have you been with Clote?
About a dozen.
About a dozen.
Yep, 10 to 12.
And worked with how many churches?
Oh, gosh.
15?
Couple dozen, yeah.
20-some? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the ask. Getting to the ask. If any of you have been in the sales industry at all, you've heard me talk in the past about sharpening my teeth as a Cutco knife salesman. And now those of you who are at Christ Greenfield are saying that explains a lot, right? Yeah, I loved actually selling those knives. It's the art of that ask. Asking for finances, resources, and let's be real, in a church setting, people to change their generosity patterns for the sake of the kingdom, this can be tough. We have talked to plenty of pastors who have simply talked about generosity at a maximum. If you heard our conversation with Jeff Rodemeyer a few weeks back, it's like a once a year thing, right? and we can do so much better. I found in my leadership, though, and how I read Jesus' parables, his preaching, and his persuasive language of challenge, that one time a year sermon, that's just not enough, man. Are you preaching about Jesus connected to generosity? Jesus was always calling his people closer to him by stretching their sacrificial muscles to give of their lives, their whole lives away to him, to lose, and then we're told to actually gain through losing, to decrease. This is a paradox of the Christian life, to decrease in order for Jesus to increase in their spirit, to get back in line so that others can get to get in the back of the line so that others can get in the front of the line. And one way in the 21st century that Jesus followers can do this is to embrace the reality of generosity. It is a beautiful thing. And when you hear that word, like the art of the ask, you know, this is all about, friends, this is all about relationship, sharing your heart. Where has Jesus led you, your story of transformation connected to generosity? And so it's not a transaction. This is just about a relationship, right, Jake?
Yeah, and here's the truth of the art of the ask and just the ask in general, that those around you that love you, that listen to your teaching, that care about your family, that trust in your leadership of the organization you run, many of them would honestly be discouraged, offended, and bummed if you didn't invite them into blessing the cause that you are passionate to promote. Mm-hmm. Embrace that reality. People want to give to support others. Leader, they want to support you. Your church, your nonprofit, your ministry, your endeavor, this is half the battle. The mindset of yes versus no. People want to say yes to supporting things that light you up, and then in turn will light them up. But we don't always give them a compelling vision, though, to say yes to. Or we come to them with an awkward conversation about giving money and our palms are sweaty and it's to a cause because we're just swerving in our words around the elephant in the room. Friends, don't be afraid to invite them into it. We are here today to help you get over any fear of the ask, misconceptions about asking for money, and encourage you to lean into the art of the ask and do it.
Do it.
Glendon Smith has made over how many visits in your life have you made? I know it's not more than 60 here.
Oh yeah, well, just 60 at Christ Greenfield. Yeah, I don't know, hundreds of across the country.
Maybe even
thousands.
Maybe, you know, maybe. Yeah.
Visits with potential financial donors. He's a stud. Let's learn more from him today.
That's right.
Glendon, let's walk people during this show through the whole process of the art of the ask and use the idea that each of the leaders listening will one day from start to finish be having a visit with a potential financial donor to their organization. So let's start at the beginning. The list. Ooh. How best can you come up with a list of potential donors, Glendon?
Well, of course, it is everyone who attends this church or school or considers Christ Greenfield their home church. What we don't want to do is to leave anyone out of the conversation.
So before you even get to the list, if you're raising funds, say, for a church or for a not-for-profit, you first need a team, right? So how do you go about establishing that team of folks? Because that is one of the unique things that CLOAT offers, is that team approach. Every member gets a visit. So how do you go about building that team? What are some of the folks and characteristics of folks that you want on that team?
Well, but certainly there are members who are dedicated to the future of the church and school, and they're believers who will go the extra mile in achieving what is in the best interest of the church and school, and they've made this a priority, and ideally, too, they would have attended focus group meetings that we had last October and November, showing great interest and filling out a questionnaire that kind of shared some of those details.
So on a team like that, if someone's listening and maybe they don't have a consultant, but you're helping them right now, what would be some people, some roles on that team that you would say that could really move the needle of different roles on a team? Can you speak to that?
Well, there's several sub-chairs, you know, like the spiritual emphasis committee, and you have the kickoff committee, and various phases that we go through, really where those leaders kind of help be the, if you will, the lead cheerleader of that phase of that time that we're going through it. I think that's
yeah. And you have to have co-chairs or leaders. Maybe if you are the executive director, you're helping out with that. But it's okay to get volunteers to really drive that team forward, to get into people's homes, lives, and live out the strategy that everyone has set to have these visits for donors.
I think it's imperative too. If you're a pastor listening, are you talking about generosity with your staff? And is your staff, if you've got paid or non-paid folks, are they modeling generosity? And that would be the place you would probably start.
Be the biggest cheerleaders.
Exactly. In all the different areas of ministry that you have at a church, they're the ones that are going to be the best spokesmen to share. How are you being generous, time, talent, and then resources toward the mission of Jesus? So yeah, whether you're working with the Cloten Associates or whoever, talk about generosity consistently with your team, with your staff.
And a lot of teams, then, they would be the first that have given toward whatever the initiative is, right, Glendon? And then they can become, really, if your model calls for this, which ours does, visitors, and as many visitors as you can that have already given toward the mission, they support it, they can then go and be trained up on the art of the ask as well.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. This is a time for leaders to lead, and the members of the church do look at the leaders as role models, as providing examples of what they're expected to do as well.
So the art of the ask, get a team. Don't go with this as a lone ranger. Silos don't make saviors, but just burn people out. So create the list. And now we are moving towards sitting down with so-and-so on a visit, a donor visit. Talk to us, Glendon, about the nuts and bolts of a visit. What makes a good potential donor visit?
Well, and that's really a great question. I tell you, it simply is time spent with a friend for really less than an hour, maybe in the privacy of your home or at church or any other appropriate place, because this provides an opportunity for members to ask questions and get answers, helping to unify us all for a common cause. Bonds are strengthened or even created by walking through a beautiful brochure that's been created.
So a lot of leaders are timid. We're trying to raise up a big team now of visitors. We got about 50 that are making home visits, sharing the mission vision of our congregation. And we'd like to raise that up to about 100 who are making those visits to get into roughly 800 homes at our congregation. But it's tough, man, to get those folks to say yes to that. A lot of leaders are timid because of the actual ask portion of a visit. You do such a beautiful job with this component. You have a specific solid language that comes very natural to you that makes a visitor feel loved, important, and yet challenged and invited to stretch themselves as well. So let's pretend that we are potential donors to a project, could be church, not-for-profit, whatever. Can you share with us how you'd actually go about that ask portion of the visit?
Sure. Yeah. So it's certainly easy for those who have made a decision, but most of us really just are not sure how much they might want to consider pledging to the Live the Journey campaign. While we would not recommend that anyone put themselves in financial jeopardy, on the other hand, we are trying to raise $10 million. As you all know, the Bible does speak of equal sacrifice in our giving, not equal giving. And in Corinthians, it reminds us that each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so we need to encourage stretch giving during the campaign. Therefore, members and friends must know what range of gift to consider in order to best help us reach our goal. I find that when asking a donor to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider a pledge, that a holy ask may be helpful and can be a sacred moment, sort of the sweet spot. I kind of got some of that language from you, Pastor Tim, of the entire visit. You know, the asking amount is not an assessment, nor is it a requirement. It is rather a level of gift to consider that will help families and individuals make an educated decision regarding their pledge. Some may know what they're going to pledge, but for those that do not, providing an opportunity for them to consider how they might fit into the overall program can be useful. In order for Christ Greenfield to raise $10 million, we will need many families to consider pledging on different levels of giving according to their ability and willingness. All families have different circumstances, and by asking families to consider gifts of various amounts, this reflects our sensitivity. This asking amount is a figure that we are asking families to consider. it is not what members are supposed to give, because whatever they give will be the right amount. And the main point is simply to stretch, if at all possible. And we've all heard about giving till it hurts. And certainly, as Corinthians said, it's really best to give till it feels good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I feel like I was there with you in that visit. And as you said, Live the Journey campaign, that's what we're doing at Christ Greenfield. But that could be, leader, anything that you're having some strategic vision language around to move the needle for the vision you believe God is leading you toward. And if you didn't catch it there at the end, this is a really good line to memorize as you sit in the midst of the art of the ask. That if you're able to talk about Jesus, so it would be whatever Jesus is leading you to give is the right amount. And that really levels the playing field to honor the process of them thinking, praying, looking, searching, and coming up with that number, and no guilt or responsibility for maybe a number that was presented. Now, the number really helps move the needle to stretch them, but you do want to couch that with love and grace in that as well. So that was really awesome and really fun. Now, you actually had a number in mind, I believe, at the end of a visit, and sometimes you do, that you would want that person to give. So that asking amount, you called it, is key. Most of us have probably not been as direct with people on that amount in our visits. We just leave it up to them. Hey, whatever you'd like to give is great. Tell them to pray about it and they'll get back to you. And we get honestly poor results. Tell us, why is that most effective than simply leaving it in their minds to come up with their own number?
Well, they may be given to many worthy causes, and there are several worthy causes out there. But now, during these next 3 years, which is the scope of this Live the Journey campaign, we are hoping that members will consider giving more exclusively to Christ Greenfield, because it is the only cause that goes to the extreme for others to experience the love of Jesus, and does whatever it takes to empower everyone to become passionate Jesus followers, and also sacrifices anything to expand God's kingdom. You know, usually our giving to any charitable or religious organization is based on what we want to give. The asking amount establishes along a scale of gifts for a $10 million campaign and is presented to members by campaign volunteer visitors, reflecting more of what the church needs to successfully fund the campaign.
So good. So what Glennon just shared was our 3E vision: experience, empower, expand. And leader, if your vision is compelling, pointed, lost people are going to be found, the kingdom of God is going to expand, if it's getting after people being moved from hell into heaven, why aren't we more bold in that ask? And then when we make that ask, I like this language that you use. Some people find it helpful if they only had a number to consider. And then in that holy pause, it is a holy pause, we can then offer that respective number. It's a holy moment. You say the amount and then you pause. It's holy because the person then gets to wrestle with God themselves, their internal motivations. Let them sit in that. And this doesn't have to be an awkward time. It's actually a gift to them. So what tips do you have to give our listeners to help that moment not be an awkward pause, but actually a holy pause?
Well, that's right. It is a holy moment in response to their request to hear how they might be able to help live the journey. We certainly provide this as a consideration during their deliberation. And so the key to the silence are the words of inspiration, education, and motivation that are said before the ask is provided as a helpful tool for the potential donor to consider. The silence now becomes a reflection on what all they just heard from the visitor and what the good Lord may be putting on their hearts to consider, which will be confidential and private between them and God. The things most remembered by those visited, though, is the enthusiasm and commitment to success about the campaign's objectives.
So I have been able, by the grace of God, and Jake has too, to work past the awkward many times. And I'll tell you what, it is an absolute blessing when you get to that moment, and we have a number we'd like you to prayerfully consider. Would that be helpful? You ask that question. And then when they say yes, I just got one story from the past that is just amazing. Throughout, it'd be great if over the next 3 years to the Christ Greenfield Live the Journey campaign, if you would prayerfully consider a gift of $25,000. And there was the holy moment. There was the pause. And then I think you were with me with this, Glendon. And then there was the moment when he says, you know what? What are you going to do with the other $25,000 that we're ready to give? I was like, what? I mean, tears, just thankfulness, the goodness of Jesus. It wasn't awkward. It was actually holy, rather than just kind of a willy-nilly, you know, whatever Jesus leads, and then off we go with a prayer and whatnot. But to move to that point and to get them to offer their first fruits to the Lord, powerful. Jake, have you had any kind of similar experiences?
Yeah, I love a similar story of two young people that are just starting out their life, really in their 20s. And making a little bit, you know, they have salaries, but there's also a lot that comes with being new to all of that, and presented a decent but really smaller ask in the grand scheme of things. And they just said, that's just not nearly enough. We can definitely do way more than that. And so it's cool to see young people that say, hey, I want to make generosity a big part of my life, and show us that no matter what stage of life we're in, they're looking to start out right to be generous to the things of God. Yeah.
So why do you think a lot of pastors may be fearful, not only talking corporately, but even privately then about resources? What are some of those fears, you think, Glendon?
Well, from my understanding is that typically in seminaries, they really aren't teaching it quite like pastors need to hear it. And so with not having the experience, it seems to be, I know when I first started, believe me, it was a little unnerving to sit with someone and help them get to a point of charitable giving. But I think as you have experience with it, and that really seems, and I would say that it would be the answer today, is you've got to weigh in. And we, of course, as a firm, that's what we do. We provide those services.
And I think as if you are a young pastor or a young leader, and you've maybe bought the lie that you don't have to give the same way your people give, that's just false. So make sure you're at a place to be leaning into generosity, and you can lean into that because you are giving toward that cause as a model. That'll help you out. And if you didn't have good experiences or examples of mentors, you didn't learn this in seminary, Glendon, what advice would you have for them if they can't maybe even afford a consultant? How would they get some help?
Well, certainly we do work with folks. But as Pastor Tim said earlier, it's really not a once a year conversation. It really is a way of life. And I think as they start to realize that, as I think you mentioned too, that in the Bible itself, giving and money and things like that are mentioned many times, I think it has to be a common thread, maybe through most sermons.
Well, you talked about 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know the context of what's going on there? So the Apostle Paul is encouraging what is a very affluent, upwardly mobile community there in Corinth to be generous. And do you know what he actually says? And this is a phenomenal strategy, though I think it would be very awkward if it were implemented today. He says, do you know these churches in Macedonia? They're poor. In our context, they'd be an urban poor setting. And yet they are giving extraordinarily to the cause of the saints, those who are being persecuted in Jerusalem. They are outpacing you extraordinarily. And so today it'd be like, if I were to bring this message to, frankly, an affluent, upwardly mobile community here in Gilbert, do you know about a church in downtown Phoenix? Let me just tell you about how they're investing in their community. And even getting to like the percentage of dollars, this size of a congregation, that's the encouragement he is giving to them. And there is a little bit of comparison, and hopefully it leads toward a little bit of repentance, or a lot of repentance, to say, you know what, we as a community, to whom much has been given, much is required. So there is a model for actually that godly sense of comparison, Pastor. So lean into that. Get rid of the fear. Normalize the conversation. So good.
So normalize the conversation from the pulpit if you're a pastor or an executive director and the people that you run with. And so sprinkle this in. Don't just single out one day only per year and just call it quits. Sprinkle in the generosity conversation throughout. Glendon, we'd love to close today with asking you three questions that we ask every participant on the show, beginning with this one. What young leaders are you currently apprenticing?
Yeah, baby.
How's it going? And what does that look like?
Well, and maybe a typical response might be your children. I have two daughters, as I mentioned earlier, Sarah and Abigail. And I'm just very proud to say they work for nonprofit organizations. And I kind of like to think that maybe I, as an example of being out and helping others do good, that, and they're great mothers and great wives. So just very proud of them, but it's going pretty good, I think.
That's awesome.
That's excellent. Now, what books are you currently reading?
Well, yeah, you say the word books. Yeah, I do. In the morning, I read about 5 to 6 books, a page or two. One of them is the Book of Songs. I'm working through that, and A Daily Devotional by Charles Stanley, and Godly Words for Men, even a book on Daniel Boone. You know, I am from Kentucky, after all. And Ernest Hemingway's For Whom the Bell Tolls.
If I love those books. Now, if there was one book that a reader should read on generosity or the art of the ask, would you have a recommendation there?
Well, yes, and I know that Jim Clote, the owner of our firm, would hope everyone would read his book. And by the way, they can get a free copy.
The
Proven Path.
The Proven Path by Jim Clote.
Yes.
What is your primary, last question, what's your primary word of advice for young leaders?
Well, praying and reading are so very valuable. And living your life to the fullest every day and just simply being good and doing good. Just kind of simple philosophy that I try to live by.
Well, it's been a joy to have you on the show today. Listener, you have hopefully been blessed on these tips of the art of the ask. So feel compelled to wade into this conversation, to be passionate about the vision that God has called you and your organization to live out, to help the community, help people locally, all the way maybe to globally. Glendon, it's a joy to have you on our team and to know all the different people that your ministry has affected, that when you raise these funds and you go off as a circuit rider, headed to the next place and the next place as a consultant, that the generosity that has been baked into that system to build people, maybe some buildings and some programs, will echo into eternity.
Yeah, Glendon, you compliment Pastor Jake and I in amazing ways. Listener, as you've heard, Glendon is patient. He's very kind. He's slower, very thoughtful, brother. And we're a part of a fast-paced congregation here, kind of fast-paced leaders, right? And you are a perfect complement on our team. And you have not just spoken into generosity. I mean, you've been immersed in our culture. And you've been a culture carrier, culture shaper over the last 8 months, and can't wait to hang out with you for a few more months. So as you look back over your time at Christ Greenfield, what are some of your remembrances?
Well, you know, because I have an office, as you know, pastors, my office is in between both of yours, and so I'm here full time every day.
First one here.
Well, often. I'm an early riser, you know, but I not only work here, I live here, I worship here. I serve here, and this is where I live. This is my home. And so I am all in, and it's great to work alongside you two gentlemen who are obviously all in as well.
So what are some adjectives you'd use to describe the Christ Greenfield culture right now?
Oh, gosh. I think excited, really in lockstep with one another. They're very hopeful. And I think they're very satisfied. So, you know, on the one hand, being satisfied where they are, but obviously being hopeful for the future, because there are more needs, there are more opportunities, and there's more people that need the word. And that really blesses me to know that you all, I really believe, have had a great impact on your people here, because they really believe like you do.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for being on the show today, Glendon Smith. And I love visiting your office for the cheerful humor, and especially the butterscotch. It goes a long way. Next time on Lead Time, we're going to have a returning guest, KJ Strews, And he's going to share with you and us 5 tips for healthy living. Check that out. Share this podcast with those that need it most, or those that don't yet know
they need
that they need it. Enjoy leading and learning and being a child of God today and always. See you next time on Lead Time. Peace out.
It's a great day. Peace.
You have been listening to Lead Time with Tim and Jake. Please subscribe at cglchurch.org/leadtime. Thanks for listening. Tune in next Monday for another episode.